Good morning, everyone. I'd like to call the meeting of the Safety Committee to order for at 7:33 a.m. on the 28th of March. In attendance are myself, Mark Frye, as chair, Mrs. Westfall, Mr. Lukey, Mrs. Capellini, and Mrs. Hussman also, as members of council, Mayor Stowell, Law Director Leslie Browning, Mr. Sanford, Mr. Aller, and Chief Schnorr. First day on the job, Chief?
Yes.
Welcome, obviously, in your new role, and congratulations. I hope that we'll see Mr. Haneman, and I know Mr. Richardson was heavily involved in the ad hoc committee, so hopefully they'll join us shortly, and I'll note that in the record when they do arrive. My intention this morning was a few things. First, I wanted to briefly review what I believe I heard and what notes I took from the public hearing that we had a week ago Monday on the, I believe that would be the 18th, to give opportunities for others on council to make sure that they heard, they didn't hear something that I might have missed that was critical to the conversation, and then start to discuss what, if any, changes should we make from the ad hoc committee's recommendations to council after having the opportunity to go to public hearing. My understanding, Mrs. Westfall, is once we go through this process, presuming, of course, that the Safety Committee has a thought process to bring something back to council, that we would have another opportunity for a public hearing. Is that your intention? Okay. Great. And obviously, we want to move this process forward as rapidly as possible, given the fact that the weather in Northwest Ohio seems to be improving. I'll knock on wood real quick. Well, hold on. Wrong thing. Never know. So with that being said, here is what I heard back from the citizens in general from our public hearing. What I heard was general support of the concept. There was some concerns about a few things, but generally, even those who had concerns understood and were supportive generally of the concept. The most significant commentary that we received as constructive comments was about the boundaries going the whole way through, I think it's called the B1 zoning area, which is kind of how the lines were originally drawn, which basically goes from the North Fork of the 10 Mile Creek across going west to the railroad tracks from Erie down to effectively Monroe Street, if I recall correctly. Because since this is a recording, I'm describing it verbally. The concern by many of our citizens was that encroached or butted up against some residential neighborhoods in our community, and that they thought that was inappropriate location for that, and that we should shrink the boundaries of the DORA for the purposes of this. Another concern that was brought up were the hours. The initial hours of operation that were suggested through the ad hoc committee was basically from 10 a.m. to close of business, which in the case of one of the liquor permit holders is 2:30 in the morning, and concerns about that and having them having it every day. There were concerns about the availability of restrooms, and a question whether there were the liquor holder permit holders would be allowing restroom utilization for the public given the change. There was concern about enhanced policing requirement and the cost and impact of that, and the mayor made comment to how that would potentially be dealt with going forward with the community in the event that we choose to move forward with a DORA. The other thing that I heard was that I recall was that there should be, I think the lady who spoke about it, was a time limit. I call it a sunset provision in the legislation that would allow us to re-examine and evaluate what were the positive things that we saw, what were some of the drawbacks that we potentially saw in the event that there were any, Another citizen had concerns about the availability of taking the open containers, the cups, to parking areas, and I assume, and I drew from that the potential of drinking and driving, or the enhanced potential of drinking and driving, concern about sufficient lighting, and whether or not the cups should be recyclable. The not making light of any of those commentary points. The last one, which is recyclable, I'm assuming can be handled by whoever's handling the cup purchases. Sufficient lighting is to me somewhat dependent upon where we decide to finally draw the lines, and I would open it up to see if any members of council heard anything additional from that or wanted to add anything to that.
I have one addition, possibly. The conversation that took place around Sodbuster, I'm not clear on what that exactly is. That something about there is not a path to the actual Dora. There's some limitation with the way and location where Sodbuster is and getting to the Dora path or passage. I don't really know what that was all about. I just want to make sure we get clarification on that.
My understanding of that conversation, Mrs. Westfall, and I'm going from my recollection as well, is that the Dora only exists in the public right-of-way. Is that correct, Mrs. Branning? Okay. So if there's no – so as long as you step from the place where they've handed you the open container, the cup, into the public right-of-way, you're okay from their property. But with when you step out of Sodbusters with an open container, you're not in the public right-of-way, I don't think.
I'm not sure that this is the legal example of that, but if I were to apply for a building permit for the Sodbuster building, their porch has a roof over it. It would be included in the area of the building for legal building permit purposes. So my feeling is that if you step out of the door of Sodbuster, you're really still in the building, and you're walking along that covered walkway on your way to the public right-of-way. Now, that building is not out to the right-of-way along Main Street, but I don't think Doras were set up such that you have to have zero lot lines and zero front yards to participate. I gotta believe it's all right.
I just want a clarification on that. I don't really need to have it.
Maybe we need to talk and try to get further clarification, but I don't think that's a reason to exclude sidewalks. What you're saying is they can't go into the parking lot and drink, but if they come along that porch straight to the right-of-way, that would seem to be all right. But I am not an attorney, and I'm certainly not an expert on drinking laws.
I concur, Mayor, and I appreciate your feedback and thought process there. That does seem to be logical to me. But as we all know, sometimes the law and logic don't always connect. So we need to get a better sense of that.
West of the Sodbuster that would object to people walking up and down that porch.
Right. Right. Mrs. Husband, go ahead.
There was some discussion also, and I don't think you said this, but it's early in the morning, liability. There was some conversation about that and who's, and I think that needs to maybe be cleared up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think there was some question about just simply establishing liability. I think some of the business owners were concerned about that and some of the neighbors. And so nowhere here do we actually specifically identify the liability.
Right. And that did come up in the ad hoc committee as well, discussions about that. And it's the same liability that bar owners currently have when it comes to serving and providing alcohol to the population. So there's no liability on the city to establish this.
Right. I do have a couple more. I think, Mark, you're exactly right that the two big issues here are boundary and hours. I totally agree with that. That's where most of the discussion was. However, There was a gentleman, Tim Prosy, who represented the neighborhood north of Erie and east of Maine. So that's the Overland Orchard Park and Long Street folks. He was concerned about if this becomes successful, folks will come down from Michigan and cut through their neighborhood to get to Main Street, apparently to get to the Dora quicker. His suggestion was simple, which was simply establish signage that says local traffic only. I don't know if that's terribly relevant here, but it's certainly relevant to them. So I wanted to get it on the record. Yes, and in that case, not just the Dora boundary signage, but the traffic control signage as well. I leave that to the law department to figure out how to do that. But the other piece was, I think, a special interest request, which was to consider a parklet north of Maplewood that was by the owner of Sadbuster. I think he was probably doing that for the record. And then Mr. Ettinger from Erie Street, among other pretty good suggestions he had, talked a little bit about his concern for the noise. And I think he was sort of vaguely asking for some sort of noise control ordinance. He had no problem with bands, for example, that appear in the Maplewood area. He just didn't, I think specifically he was concerned about bands in the Sadbuster area.
Right.
He says there's a big difference here. Those are small. But
right. I did ask Mrs. Brining, I think that evening, for someone to receive a permit to have an outdoor band or concert of some sort would require additional permitting from the city. Is that correct? Right. We would just need to be particularly cautious, I guess would be the word I would use, associated with that in the event that Sodbuster elected to want to offer or put forward one of those permits. And Mrs. Hussman, yes.
Yes, just one other thing that I think came out of that public hearing that was maybe a surprise to some was that it's not only beer and wine, but it is hard liquor as well. And I don't know if that needs to be discussed or not. It seemed to be a
Was unfortunately just not paying attention to that, and so I was making an assumption. But the law is the law, right? I don't think we have any particular ability to change the Dora concept at this level, other than to, as we think about controls, be mindful of the fact that that's included, right?
So with that thought process, as you mentioned, Mr. Lutke, one of the things that that I heard loud and clear was the boundaries were too large, and there was lots of discussion about the hours of operation.
Right.
I think Mr. Ettinger suggested that we draw the boundary basically at the edge of the north side of the Sodbuster property, where Sodbuster is located, and basically go down from the back of Sodbuster down that, he called it a fence. I don't know if there's a fence back there or not, but back behind that, and limit that area to a greater extent and not go the whole way over to Summit.
Right. I think he and I had a couple of phone conversations prior to the hearing, and I think what he had in his mind was fundamentally the basic lot, the back lot line to all of the homes on Erie Street. And his question was, can we do that? And I guess, Leslie, my question is, can we do that?
Absolutely. And actually, this map is deceiving because it encompasses all of the property, but it's really only designated in the rights of way. So the back of Sodbuster will never be included in it. It's only the front part. It's only the part along Main Street.
Yeah.
But I think... The actual map, we should probably...
I think
what's
hit, yeah. Mr. Ettinger's request, and I think a couple of neighbors echoed that, that would be to have a, you know, as we draw the map, have it come east-west straight line from the back of Sadbuster all the way to the railroad tracks, right?
It won't, the backyards of those properties, once the map get more clear and defined. I think what we will do and what other communities have done is just show the strip along the side of the street.
Okay.
Count as the right of way that showed the actual areas that encompass it. Because even though the entire lot's included, and I know that was a concern of some of the neighbors on Summit Street as well, that it counted the back part of their property, it doesn't. Even though it's shown on the line, it's all, or on the map, it's on the right of way, which is the front of the street, the front of their properties. It never will include the back.
So when we officially draw that, this is going to look like a Northern Ohio congressional district when it's finished?
It'll just get me much smaller.
Right.
So the house across the street on Main Street from the side buster would be the end point of the Dora on the west side of the street? Is that what we're saying?
The sidewalk, actually.
Yeah, the sidewalk. Yeah, okay. And then obviously the other one is Summit, and I'm not quite sure. I agree with the concept of maybe taking out Summit. I don't remember why that was included, other than I think partly we were just trying to keep it clean and have it be the zoning district, right? But if we wanted to accomplish the same thing, Leslie, with the Summit Street parcel, how would we regulate that? What would that look like?
It would just show the same right-of-way designation. We would, I think Mr. Allard would produce a map that would show just the right-of-way on Summit Street, and that's easy to do.
We take that out, the right-of-way on Summit Street, right?
It's up to where the boundaries.
I'm not sure. I'm looking at the map. I wonder what they did. They showed just the right way, so they can do a door a lot of business, and then they put the boundary of the building area all that
business. Yes.
So when you get to the A&Gs, you might just be doing the right way of Main, but then you're going to jog back and take in the building, then come down the right way until you get to another business.
Right. Yeah.
And the rules and regulations they establish, I'm not sure how those stand out here in ad hoc committee, whether or not you have the fact that a business that's not complying with the rules that you establish can be taken out for 2 weeks and they're not allowed to participate. But I think the map ought to clearly delineate the right-of-ways and the businesses that are approved to participate in those.
Okay.
Yeah, that seems to make sense to me as well.
Not to get too far in the weeds, but then would we include or exclude the parking behind Chandler's and J&G? So you couldn't take an open container to your car? That would address the question that Mr. Fry was raising.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
In any parking lot, that's not.
Yeah.
Parking lots are not,
right? The only thing that I would add to that, I think that's a great solution, and obviously the right one, but let's remember that there has been discussion about having open seating, not a Dora, but sidewalk seating on Maplewood, not only in front of J&G's, but also in front of the hair salon next door. So if we extend it to the east on that Maplewood part of the right-of-way, let's not just have it end right at J&G, but with the agreement of the hair salon, of course, move it to the east side of that building.
So you won't go east on Maplewood is what you're thinking, Mr. Lukey?
Yeah, if we want to support the concept of an open seating area on the side of J&G.
Have you talked to the hair salon? I mean,
I personally have not. I think I'm assuming that the downtown Sylvania people have, but I think we need to confirm that.
Well, to me, the question of open seating and the question of including that inside the Dora walking area are different items. Keep putting it inside is, you know, as long as the person doing it is inside the public right of way, I don't know that that would be an issue from my perspective. Open seating, though, that definitely would need to be, you know, involving further conversation between DSA or us and DSA and
right.
The owner of the business.
That is in the recommendations of that area. And
right.
It was also something that I believe they were having conversations with Mr. Aller about before we even started talking about it.
Right.
Right, and we put it on hold until we could have this process.
And another question that I had, the park at the corner of Maple, on the northeast corner of Maplewood and Main Street, right where Reed Funeral Home is at. We leased that, correct? With the park?
The park.
Is that part of the... Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. The park, let me just give a general overview about what the DORA provides: drink, carrying alcohol in the public right of way. So even though we had this discussion about the historical village, even though we own that, even though the park we lease, that is not right of way. So that is not included. It's not permitted to be included in the DORA. It doesn't meet the requirement because it's not right of way.
That will be very difficult to enforce.
That's almost unthinkable. Yeah. What would we have to do to include that area so people can walk in there with their beer? I can see people from J&G's walking over there from inside the five while they're waiting for a table.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree, Mayor.
Do we need agreement from the owner, which is Reeves, or is it illegal to have it? Got buildings along here like J&G's and Inside the Five that are serving liquor. Why can't that property be designated as part of the DORA if the owners are in agreement?
It can be included in the DORA, but you will not be able to bring your alcohol into the gazebo or into the public area.
And nobody thought of this.
Well, the committee discussed it to a significant degree, and they were surprised initially about that. We were told by the law director that we couldn't do it.
Yeah. There's just, even if it's city-owned, it has to be...
Right. I think that makes it even more important, quite honestly, to have some seating across the street by J&G. You know, I think that is in the right of way. It is a wide sidewalk at that point. And I would think that just from a pedestrian traffic flow standpoint, if we could extend that space to in front of the hair salon, it would give it a little bit more freedom of movement, right? And maybe take the pressure a bit, Mayor, off the park. I'd love to have the park be included, just as I would love to allow the historical village folks, if they wanted to, to have some events there. But I don't know that we can. At least that's what Leslie said.
The only way you could do it is to get the property owner to have a liquor permit, kind of how they do in downtown Toledo, or even at Local Bus, have the parking lot, or have the park area have a liquor an event permit if we know there's going to be something.
Well, okay.
And you still can't cross the boundary with your alcohol. You have to dump it out. And remember, you did mention that there is legislation currently pending to eliminate that kind of crazy part of the law, but it's still just pending. So that is a workaround, but it requires additional work on our end, and the Watkins with the property owner would have to make the application for the permit.
But that would just be a temporary.
Right, it would be
case
by case. And maybe for like Maple Main events that we know would be more, maybe we could work with them to do that, but
Well, we're getting a little far afield. While I agree that all these things are critical, I want to be cognizant of our time because we're not going to fix that issue today.
Yeah, and you know, let me again reinforce the fact that I think Mr. Fry mentioned separately from Dr. Gombash, who made a comment about it. All of the downtown stakeholders understand that this is a work in progress, right? They're grateful for the city's support. They understand that after the end of the first year, there'll probably be some retooling and work to be done. So I appreciate the mayor's support of including the park at some point, but I would hate Mr. Fry to have this whole process stop just so that we can make that happen. I think the downtown stakeholders would be they're appreciative of where we've gotten so far, and if we can include the park in year two or year three, I think that they'd be delighted with that.
Can I ask just a quick question about how easy it is to make something a right-of-way and then make it not a right-of-way? So the Reeb property, like if we could make it a right-of-way with, at some point, because the Reeves are probably not going to want to make it a permanent right-of-way in case they have a different idea about what they want to do with their total property, can you make something a right-of-way and then change it later? And then second question, the DORA. So if we make very small boundaries right now because of the concerns about the boundaries, how hard is it to expand it in a year? So that's easy. So the right-of-way puzzle might be more interesting.
More difficult because we don't own it. That's the critical component. If we owned it, we could dedicate it fairly simply as right-of-way, but we don't own it.
Because we do a lot of those right-of-way things when we're, you know, for streets or sewers or, I mean, there's got to be some way because I guarantee that people are going to be there drinking, whether it's included or not included. So we need to at least be, even if it's some out of the box way that we're going to change it, we need to fix it.
A temporary right-of-way designation would not meet the requirements for including it as part of the DORA. It would have to be permanent public right-of-way.
Could that be changed? Can permanent right-of-way be changed to, I mean?
Sure. We vacate right-of-way from time to time, but again, that's property that we own. That's the challenge of this park, with including the park.
So, all good discussion. I guess I want to try to recenter us, looking to see whether or not there's consensus on the safety committee about whether we want to create a DORA. Let's start from the top. And I see heads generally nodding for the creation. So now we get back to the question of boundaries, and we've already kind of addressed that we would limit the boundaries to the public right-of-ways as required by law, and the businesses who are going to be participants, potential participants, if they elect to do so, because they have to elect to do so, correct? And my recollection is we have to have at least four businesses who say they are going to participate. Just mechanically, how do they do that? Do they need to send us a letter, or is that a permit application to say, yes, we want to participate in the DORA? I don't think that's going to be an issue, but
yes.
Do we need that before we pass legislation?
No, they've all verbally indicated.
And that's good enough?
That's good enough.
Okay. And then, so I think we've dealt with the one issue. The other issue is ours.
Could we just
clarify
what we're saying as far as the changing the footprint? What I hear us agreeing to is ending the northern part of the DORA at Main Street just north of the Sodbuster. Is that right?
That's my understanding,
on both sides of the street, right? And then on Maplewood to just east of the hair salon on both sides of the street.
Basically the western
yeah.
half of that block between
Correct.
Summit and Main
Correct.
Street.
And I think that there's a parking lot to the east of the hair salon, and I guess that's where we would cut it off. I didn't hear any comment at our meeting about that, right? The west
so
side of Main Street.
What are you thinking about on the west side? I mean, are you thinking, I guess I'm not sure what the public
Well, it's all publicly owned property up there.
Inside the five, got an exit that's on the west side of Main Street. So we have to have the door come down to at least get to that.
Oh, I think that.
So how far west are we talking?
West side of Main Street.
Well, the line would basically go.
Maplewood. I didn't hear any complaints at all about anything between Main Street and the railroad tracks. There's no residential fundamentally, and I thought that was sort of everyone was in agreement that that was okay.
So the east side of Maplewood? I missed that.
No.
The west side of Maplewood. Maplewood, west of Main. It would go the whole way to the tracks on both sides of the street.
And then it would just end at Main Street, Maplewood?
It would end at the tracks.
No, going east or going west?
Going towards the creek.
It would end halfway up the block at the point where the hair salon ends.
You don't want to just include Maplewood to the end to just make it clean to Summit Street? Just if there were events there.
I think that that was one of the points of discomfort for the people who lived on Summit Street. And I think that's certainly something that
it seemed like it was the people that were at Summit Street past Erie. Do you know what I mean? Because on Summit Street, there's the flower shop, and then there's a lot of, there's those two apartment buildings, and then there's like three vacant lots. Like there's not that, seem like the people that I listen to are like for on the north part of Summit. But if it's fine.
Well, you know, I don't know that we want to make this complaint driven. I think we have the philosophy here is we want to keep it away from residential neighborhoods, right? And like it or not, the next two or three lots on Summit heading north after the flower shop are apartments. So I think we have to be consistent, we probably want to cut it off halfway up the block just to keep the activity away from those homes.
And keep in mind, if things change in the future with buildings and the way they're utilized and what have you, we can always modify that. And bluntly, we don't know. This is all an experiment, right? I mean, at the end of the day, there might be four cats and a dog that want to utilize this. There might be 500 people a day. We have no idea what the incremental opportunity for the participating businesses is going to look like and what this is going to do to add to our downtown environment. So, Leslie, do you have a clear picture of what we're looking at as far as boundaries?
I believe so.
Okay, so.
I will.
Right, and ultimately it still needs to come back to us to make sure that we're comfortable with it. The other question is one of ours. And the original thought process from the committee was 10 a.m. to 2:30, or 10 a.m. to 2:30 a.m., which is the close of Sodbusters. There was some concern mentioned about that, and bluntly, I have concerns about that as well. I'm not sure that at 2 o'clock in the morning there's going to be, I can't say that I've been at Sodbusters at 2 o'clock in the morning ever, so maybe I'm wrong, but I'm guessing there's not a ton of people waiting in line to get into Sodbusters at 2 o'clock in the morning, that they would probably be utilizing the DORA capabilities. So my tendency is to limit those hours to some extent or another. The other question is, do we want to make this every day, or do we want to make this a more limited time frame? I think Chief Rota suggested Thursday through Sunday. But I don't know what the will of other members of council might be on either of those two. So let's deal with the days first, and then we'll talk about hours second.
Would it be helpful for me to give the rationale for
sure.
The everyday piece?
Absolutely.
It was pointed out not only by the establishment owners, but also by the business owners on the committee, and that's Mrs. Worth and Scott Hudson started gravitating in as well, that their experience in talking to their colleagues in other cities is that it's hard to get the public to remember the days of the week the DORA is in place if it's less than 7 days a week. Now, I have no way to prove that, but that's what they said. Leslie was there. That's what they said. And so they feel that it's harder to enforce if, you know, we make it a Thursday through Sunday, and then somebody shows up on a Wednesday and expects to be served. And they felt that there's a benefit to the continuity of regular days. Did I say that right, Leslie? So I don't have a particular opinion about that, other than that's what they said.
Thoughts from other members of council?
And keep in mind that the business owners control that pretty easily. They just don't sell at those times, right? I mean, they're the ones picking up the flowers.
Oh, sure.
It's not available.
Oh, sure. But their point is that if somebody comes a couple times and they can't get a cup, they're not going to come back. I'm just saying. But I didn't mean to interrupt. Make your point.
No, I think that I definitely feel that, you know, the hours is a little easier discussion point, because I think they've made a fair point there that it's very difficult for people to remember. But we think people are coming downtown specifically so they can get a drink and stand outside. I thought we were trying to really relieve the busiest times in the community for people who are visiting our downtown area, the peak times that they've got the option to stand outside. So I'm not sure that it's necessary to start with all of those things. Left is often more, and I do have a lot of respect for the chief's position on that. I don't know if Chief Schnorr has any thoughts on that.
Well, you know, the first 2 years of my career, I worked in the busiest community that deals with this, and that's the Village of Put-in Bay. A lot of experience with that. You know, I do have some concerns just, you know, with the geographic area that we talked about. And the days and times, you know, certainly some of the people who live downtown and in that area, you know, when after a certain time of day, the sidewalk rolls up, if you will, you know, and that's what we're used to here in Sylvania. And, you know, my experience is when you have that option, there might be people that make that their pattern. You know, they're every Wednesday afternoon and Wednesday evening. And the thought of people standing out talking, sometimes it might be a little bit louder if they've been drinking. You know, we might start experiencing those complaints from residents, that sort of thing. So, and, you know, there are families that live in the apartment complexes, you know, adjacent to downtown. And, you know, the idea that every day of the week someone could be out there talking and drinking and being loud, you know, might be a concern that then will be transferred, you know, in a public safety concern to us. And it could cause conflict as well if there's people that are drinking and being loud. And you know, so in my mind, those are some of the things that, you know, I think about the conflicts that could occur between folks that are given this new opportunity. So that's what I think about. So limiting that so that, you know, there's a time where it's not allowed, and that, you know, quite honestly, some folks would not worry about it during those days because it wouldn't happen. That potential for that conflict wouldn't be there. So, so that's the, in my experience in dealing with this over the years, is that, you know, when there's a potential for conflict that could happen over a policy or, you know, a law, that would be my input. So I would agree with restricting the days initially, until we see what the impact is going to be on our community.
That's a pretty good statement, I think, too. Until we see what the impact on our community is going to be. Again, less might be more until we've tested it.
But we can certainly adapt to whatever, you know, our community decides is right for us.
So comments from, I think, Katie Fields twice, is that you never know what the weather is going to be like. It could rain all weekend, and nobody wants to stand outside on a weekend in the rain. But then it's a Monday, and say it's been raining for 10 days, and it's finally like a nice day out, and you go downtown, and you think, oh, I'm going to get a beer, and it's a beautiful night, and then you can't go outside. So you can't control the weather. And that's, I'm just repeating what I mean, I think she said that twice at both of the times that she came, which makes a lot of sense. Just I'm in favor of an every day.
You know, my problem is I'm not 27 and single, and I don't know how that demographic behaves, right? I mean, we go into Inside the Five at 9 o'clock on a Monday, and the place is packed. And I'm guessing it'll be packed in the summer as well. So I think that probably the establishment owners are trying to gauge the demand of their market a little bit, and what they're saying is that, it's a different market than what I'm personally used to, you know. So
I would say, I think I started by saying I think it's easier for me to have a conversation around the hours than the days, and Mr. Fry wanted to start with the days, because I definitely...
That's why.
But because I have strong feelings about the hours, but I'm conflicted on the day conversation, because I think there is something to be said about the consistency, potentially. You make an interesting comment about Monday night.
Well, I was using that as a generic placeholder for every weekday night, right?
Yeah, I get it. So, again, at some point we want to be supportive of the committee recommendations, so I think we've got to look at these both together a little bit. What are we thinking with the hours? And then what makes sense from the day standpoint? I personally would want to see those hours cut. I feel very strongly about that. Those hours should be, 4 to 11 or 4 to midnight. I find it very challenging to think that we're going to start at 10 in the morning and go to 2:30. So I feel strongly about that. The weekdays, I can't speak to what the average person thinks. Like, do you begin to think, I came down here on Wednesday so I could stand out on the sidewalk?
Well, now, Mary, that's unfair to say it that way, because this is not what we're going to allow people to do, is stand out on the sidewalk. We're going to allegedly build some parklets for them to go and sit. You know, the committee approached this in a very family-friendly way, right, and a responsible adult sort of way. What they purposely tried to do is engineer out of it the notion that people, rowdies, would be walking, you know, the put-and-bay scenario, right? People are walking around just because they came to drink and wanted to walk around. That's not the scene that these folks particularly envision at all.
Parklets are good.
It's a safety valve, right,
that.
Sure.
How realistic is it for us to make sure the park lists?
Well, I will tell you, the Downtown Association is meeting next week to make the first steps toward going out and getting investors in it. So I agree with you, though, 100% that the hours are the more useful option and control mechanism, right? I mean, I didn't encounter anybody who thought that keeping it open until 2:30 was a good idea, right? I mean, midnight, maybe 11 o'clock for sure. That makes sense to me a lot. I will tell you that several merchants of the fine product, you know, a higher end shops, thought that there was a nice overlap at 4 o'clock between them being open and not having to deal with this all day long. The fact that, you know, if you go and get your hair done at Reveille in the late afternoon, you can come out and cross over to Chandler's and sit on the sidewalk and have a glass of wine. That, they seem to think that worked a lot more than having folks at 11 o'clock in the morning do it, you know. So I can't disagree with your thought about the time.
So, any more comments or thoughts in regards to the days?
I think the conversation needs to include both the days and the hours, because if we're going to have the longer hours, then I think it needs to be limited to the weekend days.
I would rather see a shorten the hours and keep it every day.
Yeah. I think that's where I'm leaning right now, but I'm not a voter on this committee.
Well,
so.
you all only have a vote.
Yeah, I would restrict the hours and have it every day, I guess.
Mayor has a thought.
If I may,
sure. Absolutely, Mayor.
I think restricting the map down and keeping this area as restricted as you can, where the drinkeries are, I think that makes it more workable for every day to consistently say that, yes, if you're on Main Street from Sodbuster down to Monroe Street, if you're going all the way to Monroe Street, only on the sidewalks, and maybe that Maplewood on both sides a little bit, that's probably workable every day. But if you're doing the whole downtown area till 2:30 in the morning, that's different. I've got to look at it from how am I going to advise the safety director and the police chief to enforce this. I already don't know what I'm gonna do about the mini park, because am I gonna instruct him that the first time somebody's in there or is belligerently in there, and their cup says from inside the five's closed down for 2 weeks from participating?
Right.
There's got to be an enforcement structure figured out here. We can have signs at, I assume you have you proposed a sign plan as well.
Right.
And it would just say that the mini park's off boundaries. But I think we need to have a more restricted area where we're comfortable having these people being. Mrs. Westfall, if you're talking about that, it's so sandy. We don't want them off in the purpose. We don't want them where we can't have one police officer driving down Main Street and seeing what's going on.
Are you comfortable what we've come to as far as limiting it just to Main Street?
I am, but I'd only go to the back of the J&G property or the back of the hairdresser store.
Yeah, I think, I agree with that.
Which is about the same as the mini park on the other side. That sidewalk is wider. I don't know where you've decided on the west side of Maplewood, whether it's going back to the alley or it's going all the way to the railroad track.
Well, I think, you know, we're going to have the farmer's market down there this year, right?
Yeah.
And that'll go all the way to the railroad tracks, right?
That's the reason to do it. You know,
yeah. I mean, it's a consistent.
The police station, perhaps.
Well,
yeah,
that's what I was thinking, too. I was thinking that's a an impediment in and of itself.
Do I want to say anything if I'm called on? Or how
no.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Mark, you have a comment behind you.
And my only concern, and it's just from being, you know, working in this block for the last 25 years, is that there are a lot of families that live at that apartment complex across the street. And again, 7 days a week, the idea that people could hang out in on that sidewalk in front of there and drink and talk, and, you know, it is very adjacent to one of the larger distributors there on the street, that might be an issue.
I don't. What are the hours of the farmer's market, Bill?
I'm sorry?
What are the hours of a farmer's market?
Is it three to seven?
Okay, so there is a definite overlap of 3 hours or so if you start the door at four.
But you know, I don't see any advantage to including that area.
Isn't that
what does that do for
it?
Yeah.
It's going to be from.
No.
It's going to be on Maplewood.
So, what I hear the chief saying, Mark, is extending.
Come to the alley?
Michael, is it Richard Becker Drive? Is that the alley?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, if that's the compromise.
Well, just because, again, you know, if it's very close to the inside of the five, I could see the patrons wanting to hang out, you know, and it's not too far from the parking. We don't want them to go to the parking, but, you know, if there's a potential that people could hang out on that sidewalk in front of a fairly large apartment complex where a lot of families and people do live, every 7 days a week you could have people standing out there talking, drinking. Mm-hmm. I think that could, one, affect the quality of life for people who live there, and two, more importantly, it could cause conflicts. I mean, that's the concern that I, that's what, when we get called, you know, so
right.
That would be my only concern.
In support of your point, the concept is that there would be a parklet right there on the corner, right, on between Fiddlesticks and Inside the Five. That would be a safety valve,
sure,
theoretically, to take off any interest in wandering further
sure
up the street. So, you know, I don't have a problem at all, Mark, with closing it off at the alley.
I like that. Again, less is more, you know, you could expand it for next year.
That's right. Sure. Bill, you have something
just
you want to say?
On Maplewood, a suggestion might be on the north side, have it to the end of the Maplewood Market building, which would go to the driveway of the apartments, and then on the south side, go to Richard Becker. Because you, I don't think you want to create you're on the outside by inside the five, and, you know, some mark on the sidewalk is where the end of the door would be. Why not just have it the length of the building?
So I don't know the answer. So the farmer's market, how far is it going to go? Like, so the door would be half of the farmer's market and then
yes
not the other half?
Yeah.
Right.
That sounds complicated.
You know, how many people will utilize the door in the farmer's market?
I don't know. Sorry, you can't bring your beer to this booth, but you can to this booth. Somehow either the farmer's market has to stop I feel like they need to be the same line somehow, or that's gonna be like.
Yeah.
And I don't know where the line is, but I feel like they need to align.
I like that he is stopping at the end, but I agree with you, yeah, since we've got the farmer's.
Well, can we stop it at the,
Half, the farmer's market in and half the farmer's.
The farmer's market will actually end at the drive, at the walkway in front of the apartments. It doesn't go all the way to railroad tracks.
Maybe that's where we stop it.
So it blocks off one driveway? Does that driveway go all the way around the back of the apartment?
It does not, but they'll have access, and then the police cars in front out here can get in and out and to the west. And then one parking access to the apartments is open.
So Mr. Sanford, the two driveways, or one of them that's going to be covered by the farmer's market, or only?
That's correct.
So if you cut it off there, that would be, seem to me to be the logical spot.
To the sidewalk?
This would be open.
And I wouldn't, I would just go straight across the street, no point. But that's the communications building, or I don't know, Frontier, I think owns it now.
Our officers aren't going to be standing out there and waiting for somebody's foot to cross the line.
Well, it's a barrier.
I assumed that, but I didn't want to put the public. Okay, so.
Okay.
So.
You want to pass that around?
So what we're talking about is going west on Maplewood to the edge of the current farmer's market, which is covering the one driveway where the apartment building is at, and I don't know how many feet that is. So, and we've already kind of established the northern and the southern boundary is pretty much been established. The eastern boundary is pretty much been established. So, Leslie, you know where the lines are at. Okay. So now I think we've got a general consensus from what I'm hearing that we're going to limit the hours but keep it every day. The question is, what are the hours? I think, I don't remember who suggested 4 to 11, 4 to midnight, something in that
I
range.
Yeah, I suggested 4 to midnight. I'm having second thoughts about the 4, only because as a former teacher, I used to stop for a little toddy on my way home after school on Friday. And so then that would be 3 instead of 4. I don't know if moving it to 3 is going to be a deal breaker or not, but 3 to midnight would be my suggestion.
So what about the summer lunch crowd? No.
That's what the establishment owners were suggesting, but I don't hear a lot of appetite for that.
Well, to me, I guess my thought process on that is, if there's people that are, we can get input later from, if the summer lunch crowd is so big that there's demand, then we need to hear that from the owners. I don't know whether it is or not. I've not in this area during you know, typical lunchtime hours, so I don't know that we necessarily need to cover that.
Well, we're going to draft something that represents our right, Mr. Mm-hmm. Fry, represents
That's
our
my
discussion
thought
today. I would maybe think that we'd want to have some of the establishment owners in to review that before we take it to council. Would that make sense? Let them get a rebuttal in, or no?
I think we have to think about when that public hearing comes. Are you suggesting that we would take it to council for approval prior to?
No.
No.
That's the opportunity then.
Yeah.
Yeah, fine.
I think that's the opportunity.
So okay. We just have it at council and.
No, but no, have,
no.
A public,
have a public hearing.
We have a recommendation, but not a time. I don't know if that's something what we think we can do. I don't think we'd have a public council coming back for the public hearing, but we'd have to draft something similar to what the committee did that kind of outlines it for what might be recommended in legislation that is under consideration.
I don't know that I care between 3 and 4. I'm guessing that, you know, even at J&G's, as small as it is, there's not people that are, you know, there's not dozens of people standing outside waiting for their pizza at J&G's at 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock.
Well, yeah, J&G's isn't open for lunch. Then, 5 to 5 with their team little
If there's, if I think if there's an issue there, then maybe we have the opportunity to address it in the future, I don't want to anticipate that there's.
I think four is good.
What about, how about weekends making it earlier?
Well, again, that gets back to the consistency question. I want to keep it consistent.
Consistent's better.
I like four as well. I'd like to see 4 o'clock for the first year, but.
How about noon?
Well, the weekends piece is an interesting, I hadn't thought about the weekends. Which is what, Saturday?
Well, I'm just thinking specifically of, I guess that was a Monday, Memorial Day, when Inside the Five opened. And the last Memorial Day weekend, and it was like beautiful sunny weather. They just opened. There were thousands, maybe not thousands, I'm exaggerating, but there were a lot of people, and that's what's in my mind.
There were, the day that it opened. I'm not sure that I want to draw the DORA boundaries for a circumstance like that, because that was a special situation.
Yeah, Mary has
it. Brunch, they had a line around the building.
Mary has a good point. This is still a negotiation, right? Or a discussion, not a negotiation. But let's do what we think we want to do, 4 to midnight, every day, and have our public hearing and see what kind of feedback we get.
And also keep in mind that and you spoke to this kind of the sense that there is going to be a discussion about it after this first year. And we're going to look, I thought the woman had great suggestions. The increase in crime downtown or in police calls or fire calls or hospital calls would all be interesting to take into consideration as we make the next round of decisions. But I definitely think it'll be easier to add hours in the future versus taking hours away.
Absolutely.
And you don't have to wait a year to do that.
Right.
There's no problem. You can fix it immediately at the next council meeting. If there's a big problem, I'll be back in front of you.
Well, that's one of the things I had kind of on my agenda, Mayor, is to get interim reports as we go through maybe once a month through the summer months to get a sense of what we're seeing in regards to concerns.
I think you put it in the legislation that it must be reviewed at the end of the year. But if there's a problem or a change that's obvious, you can change it.
Now, does that mean not only to respond to infractions, you know, but does it also, if all goes well for the first 60 days, do we have the ability to modify the hours at that point?
You have the ability to change anything, and I think you will need to see what's happening and adjust it up for more hours or down for less hours, or say somebody says there's a boundary that's not working, to fix that. I think you need to be prepared to adjust this as you move ahead. And the state legislation allows you to change it every day if you want to.
I think that's a sound approach.
So we're thinking every day, 4 to midnight.
Yes. Seems like the general consensus of what I'm hearing.
So the only other thing, and I'm watching my time because I have to be somewhere at 9 o'clock. The only thing I would like a little clarification on is you indicated that you're aware of some things with the DORA. Is there a quick department? Is there a quick update on what you're thinking is happening in reference in the sense that you are confident something's moving forward and that those are in position to be in place this year?
Well, actually, Mary, that's a good point. I don't know that Mark, we haven't had a discussion about the parklets. I think people like the idea when we had our public meeting, but do we, as a council, want to give some formal acknowledgement that the downtown merchants should go ahead with this?
Right? I think that's prudent. I suggested during the DSA board meeting that the council was, my impression of council's opinion and my personal opinion was that the parklets, while I think they were a great idea and I got the feeling that most council members did as well, that there were concerns about who was going to pay for it and the liability to the question Mrs. Husband raised, and that I think Mr. Aller's comment is, we'll prepare the spot, we'll make sure it's installed properly and deal with the to make sure it's the right height for the curb and all of that kind of stuff, but the city wasn't building these things or storing these things.
Or maintaining
these items. That fell to someone else and I suggested to DSA that that would naturally be them, that that would, that responsibility would fall to them. That also gives them the opportunity to work with constituents in the community that for advertising purposes or whatever the case might be. So that was kind of the conversation I had at the board meeting. They seemed enthusiastic about moving forward. I suggested to them that they start to think about how they wanted to proceed with that, for the very simple reason of time flies, and you know, it's going to be the middle of May tomorrow when you start looking at construction schedules. They may not be able to get them finished depending on who they're hiring and all of that stuff, working with administration. But ultimately, in my mind, that's not our issue. I want the parklets personally. I think it's a great idea, but I don't, you know, I'm hoping it can get them done by the beginning of June, but I don't know.
What does our process look like? This is probably a question for Mrs. Briney. Like, does this have to go to Planning Commission? And, like, what are the steps?
I've got draft provisions, and they apply for a permit. It indicates how they need to be designed, where they can and can't be. Like, obviously, we can't have them in front of fire hydrants and over catch basins and that kind of stuff. And so,
Do they know that? Have you showed that?
No, these are in draft form right now. We're fine-tuning them. They're very close to being completed.
So
it'll be part of our zoning code? Is that how you're thinking? Or?
It would just be part, it'd be similar to a license agreement, a right-of-way license agreement, like we just did for Dunkin' Donuts, where it occupies the right-of-way. We're basically, through this permitting process, we're permitting that parklet to be in place as long as it follows these guidelines.
So could Reeve apply for a parklet permit and then call the park a parklet?
No.
No.
But I think, I love the way you're thinking. I think that's very creative. Let's deal with that on a different day.
Yeah.
Sure.
Could we set the public hearing now?
No, we can't set it at a public meeting. I mean, I don't know how many. Potentially, I don't want to speak for Mrs. Luther because she's not here and she handles the advertising and things like that. And again, if, you know, we sent out the notices to all of the property owners included and Jason and Northie and the
could we do that
instead? The statute just requires one, which we have.
So we could have an information. I feel like Mr. Lipke made a commitment to that, and I think we would be short-sighted to not follow through on that.
Well, and we just designed a process where we're going to try to have input one more time from the merchants, right? So I think we have to go through with that. But if we don't have to wait 2 weeks, that's great.
I don't see any reason we couldn't call it an informational meeting and have it at the next council meeting, for that matter.
Monday? That's a little soon, yeah.
Okay.
Could we handle it as a safety committee meeting? maybe in the afternoon safety committee meeting.
I'm fine with that.
I mean, that to me is a little bit more, not as structured.
Well, if it's a safety committee, it's not just a public information meeting, and I think that's what you want, or no?
No, I don't, as long as we give the chance for the public to come in one more time and hear it, I don't care.
And I'm not sure the public cares or even recognizes the difference.
Right.
I agree with you.
What kind of advertising, or what kind of notice do you want for this meeting? Send letters like we did the first time, or you're just going to do it by word of mouth, or how are you going to let?
Did we send letters to every resident?
I think we should send letters.
No, we sent letters to every property owner in the district that was proposed and bordering the district.
Yeah, I don't know that we need to do that, do we?
That's a public hearing requirement.
Yeah, right.
And asking, what's the notice for this meeting? Are you going to ask them to put it in the newspaper and have it maybe a week out?
Yes.
What's your notice going to be? People that want to complain and have no public notice, you don't have to do that.
Right, no, I'd put it on the city website, I'd put it on the city sign downtown, I'd send it to the newspaper. I think that's all we need.
I know it's the DSA, so they can let their members.
Yeah, exactly.
Share it on our Facebook.
Yeah. I think, Mayor, that fulfills our requirement. The people who are invested in this will figure it out.
Don't just schedule it tomorrow.
Well, my thought process would be to schedule it, just off the top of my head, basically, pardon? The Monday evening between the two, so it'd be what, the 1st of April? And we could schedule it, but I'd rather have Mr. Hainem here to have that schedule.
Yeah, I'm out of town that Monday.
Shoot, well, we'll try to schedule it on Monday.
Do we have a responsibility to the people who spoke?
Yeah, I was thinking that if we write a letter to anybody, it would be to those folks.
Right, right, I think the people who spoke.
I would be fine with that, Mayor. So, Mrs. Brennan, are we allowed to schedule a safety committee meeting, the next safety committee meeting, in the safety committee meeting? Or do we have to bring it to council? Okay, that's why I was asking. But tentatively. Yeah.
And Mrs. Booker will be here at the next council meeting, so we can show that you'll be able to apply to scheduling or getting a notice of that.
Got it. Okay.
Can I just ask a question about that draft that Kevin was holding over there about the parklets?
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that can be shared, or?
Yeah,
so I know that the DS or some of the parklet people who are meeting next Wednesday, and I know that they've already got designers and builders, and they're talking about how it's going to look. Can you share that, even though we know it's a draft?
There are a couple things that I'd like to get cleaned up, because I've got some dimensions in here that I've got to verify with our downtown parking spaces, but I can get it to you shortly.
So before Wednesday, like, those measurements would be helpful, because I know they're already talking to designers and builders.
Yeah, now understand that they're not, because until we have...
It's only a draft.
Right.
But it just seems like it would be helpful to have conversations on both sides, and if you've already got something going, then...
Yeah.
So I want to be cognizant of, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I know that you have a 9 o'clock. Is there anything else that needs to come before safety committee?
We did not discuss the public restroom situation, but...
I don't know that we can control that.
Okay, because the public restroom we have right now is under the umbrella of the Heritage Sylvania.
Right.
So if that's going to become a real public restroom, then I don't think that's something that the Heritage Heritage Sylvania people should be in charge of, if it's something that's going to have to be opened and closed every day and cleaned more often.
People aren't going to walk there to use the restroom.
Well,
this is 99% of the people don't even know it exists.
Yeah.
Right, right.
They're gonna sit at the parklet. When their table's ready, they're gonna go in and sit down and eat.
And go to the bathroom.
That's why I don't perceive that as an issue. If it becomes an issue, you're right, we will definitely have to deal with it. So the last thing is sunset. I think I heard a consensus about having a relook at this after 12 months, an automatic relook at this after 12 months, correct? So 4 to 12, every day, we know what the lines are, and we're going to have a relook after 12 months with any issues that might arise coming before us more quickly from...
I would characterize it as required examination, and council must pass something to approve it again in 12 months or it expires.
I think, that's a sunset. It's an automatic sunset. Unless council says no, we're going to keep going. Okay. Anything else to come before safety committee? If not, we're adjourned at 8:43. Thank you.